First of all, grab a magnet, put it on your refrigerator, pray for us. We just appreciate it. This book is what we're talking. This is the book that was kind of inspired by this seminar. It's called The Path. Well, you know, we're going to be hitting, I believe, six dynamics tonight. There's 265 of them in here. And so a great marriage, it's not a destination. It's a journey. It's a path. You never arrive. Just praise God you've left. It's got to stay on the path. Like I said, celebrating 39 years. We're on the path. That's it. We're on the path. Who all's married in here, by the way? Okay, where's all the married people? All right. Who's single? Anybody in here single? Single. I got single. I love it when seeing single people come. And then I didn't show you this last week. I just referred to it. But this is real special to Laura and I because it helps us go to the world. This isn't something you buy. It's not for sale. This is a massive thank you. This is the best thank you I can come up with. When people sow $100 into the ministry, we say thank you with this. And so what it is, it's that little flash drive. Oh, it's about to pop off. It's a little flash drive, and it has our entire media library on it. It's like 16 series. So you just pop it in your USB port. Most people now get them, put them in their car. Just turn your car into a supernatural Bible school. Then you say, well, why is it so heavy? Well, because all five of our books are in there. So our newest book, Breakthrough Now, The Works on Healing, The Build, The Path, The Move, it's all in there. And so let me tell you what I want to do tonight, and I don't do this often, but tonight everything that comes in through the table is going to go towards Bulgaria. And so the book, the bag, if you don't want nothing, you just want to sow into Bulgaria, if you want to sponsor a pastor and his wife to come to one of those retreats, in America that would probably be $2,000, but in Bulgaria we do it for $250. So if you want to sponsor a pastor, just tell Laura, and you can use credit card, check, whatever you want to do. Amen? All right, let's get into it. The path. Last week, if you were here, we talked about Rachel, Leah, and Jacob. And we told that story, and how it ended was we talked about the fact that Jacob had one wife that he loved with all of his heart. And then he had another wife he was going to have to learn to love. He was going to have to choose to love. He loved him some Rachel, but he's going to have to choose to love Leah. And I asked this question, and I'll ask it again tonight. Have you figured out yet that a great marriage has more to do with the choosing love than it does a feeling love? Now listen, thank goodness for all those feelings. Thank goodness for Eros. Thank goodness for romance and goosebumps. Come on, and all that, and all the kissing. Come on, thank goodness for all of that. But you can't build a marriage on it. You better have you some choosing love, because some mornings them feelings aren't there, but those choices better be. Come on, that hair's crazy. That breath is stinking like fried chicken. Come on. They just all over your last nerve, right? Come on, sometimes I'll touch her and she'd be like, get off me. You're hot. Come on, you're on my hair. I mean, this is the feeling. Come on, feelings come and go. You better have some choosing love. But at the end of Jacob's life, he wanted to be buried with Leah, not Rachel. It was the choosing love that lasted. Now, remember what I said. That don't mean God wants you to marry an ugly woman. That don't mean God wants you to marry a Leah. No, Laura, she's my Rachel on the outside. She's my Leah on the inside. We got all kind of feeling love. I still chase her around the house. Every once in a while, she lets me catch her. But we've been together 39 years because we got some choosing love. And so tonight, as we're going to jump into these dynamics, I want to sow that word choose into your heart. That word decision. One of these dynamics, maybe two of them, are going to stand out to you more. There's probably going to be some of them you're going to be like, man, we got that. We're doing good there. I could. Give me the microphone. I could teach that one better than you, right? But there might be one or two of them that the Holy Ghost is going, hey, all right, Pastor Scott. All right. Okay. All right. Whose voice is it more important for you to hear tonight, my voice or his voice? Let him speak to you. And at the end of this service, draw a line in the sand and make a decision, make a choice. Let him grab your rudder and adjust it a little bit and say this in your heart. Say this in your heart. Bless God. Hallelujah. From now on, it ain't going to be that way anymore. It's going to be this way. And then whatever that decision is, share it on the way home. Come on. Share that with your wife. Share that with your husband. Because if you don't speak it, come on, the devil has a way of coming and taking it away. In other words, when you speak it, when you share that with each other, there's accountability in that. You say, baby, I just want you to know, let me tell you what I heard tonight. This is where I need to do better. And then she says, well, this is what I heard tonight, and this is what I'm going to do better. And then, come on, then you covenant together. And you know what? Now you're a little further along the path. So are we ready? All right, dynamic number one, or number five. We're going to tag team, and so are y'all ready? All right, so dynamic number five is the vision marriage. And probably out of all of them, this is probably one of my favorites because it fits so much into what I do in local churches. We do a lot of leadership training. We do the Build Leadership Training Seminar. We go into churches. I'll be doing that Saturday night in Edinburgh. And one of my great passions in life, one of the things I'm anointed to do is kick duty out of a church. I don't like it. I don't like it. You say, what do you mean? Well, duty is, you know, everything you do out of duty. And it's not that duty is bad. Duty's not bad. But a lot of times people, when you do things out of duty, you're doing it because you have to instead of because you get to. And then sometimes there's some exceptions to the rule. People do things out of duty and then they think they're doing the church a favor. Let me help y'all with something. None of y'all in here ever done this church a favor. God does us a favor by giving us the privilege and honor of serving in the local church. Amen. And so I don't want duty leaders. Now listen, a duty leader is better than no leader at all. Come on, you know what I mean? Sometimes things just got to get done whether you want to or not. All right? But I love vision leaders. Vision leaders are people that do things out of passion and conviction. And I'm not doing it because I have to. I'm doing it because I get to. And you're there early and you're staying late and you're taking a place somewhere. And we're going to have the most anointed praise and worship in Alvin. And we're going to have the greatest children's ministry in Alvin. And we're going to have the greatest youth group in Alvin. And we're going to have the greatest men's ministry in Alvin. Come on, that's vision. Duty don't get you that. Duty don't get you that. You say, well, Phil, what's that got to do with marriage? I am so glad you asked. Okay, I'm going to talk to the ladies first. All right, ladies, let me hear you. All right, ladies, this is for y'all. You know, the greatest need in a marriage for you ladies, you could say it's kind of a combination of these two things. It's communication and quality time. You know, where you have your husband's undivided attention. Now, ladies, you ever been talking to your husband and you know there's 100 other things he's thinking about at that moment rather than talk to you? He's got one eye on you and one eye on the television. And then eventually you go, now what did I just say? And he goes, he's trying to remember. He's trying to pull it up, you know, out of the records. And he's giving you duty communication. Come on. He's talking to you, but he's doing it out of what? And then, you gentlemen, y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're giving them duty communication and then acting like you're doing them a favor. Come on now, like you're doing them a favor by giving them duty communication. But ladies, you take it because duty communication's better than no communication at all, right? Come on, ladies, I need to hear from you. Y'all being too quiet. All right, I said don't be churchy. Remember? You remember? Do I need to replay that? Okay, rewind that and replay it. All right. So, ladies, imagine if your husband called you during the day and you just happened to be home, and he said, listen, baby, I'm telling you right now, tonight, Brother Phillips got me all fired up.
And we're gonna turn that TV off tonight, and we're gonna take the kids to bed early, and we're gonna sit down at the table, and he's got me all fired up with vision, and we're gonna talk about this year, and we're gonna talk about our finances, we're gonna talk about our ministry, and we're gonna talk about our health, and we're gonna write some things down. We're gonna write the vision down so he that readeth it can run, and we're gonna talk about some things, and bless God, we're gonna turn that TV off, and we're gonna get some things in order. And girl, ladies, if he did that, you'd be like, okay, all right, that's it, that sounds good to me. And y'all'd be like, oh, praise God, shut down, love, abaka. And then you'd call your girlfriend, you'd be like, girlfriend, you're not going to believe what just happened. My husband just said, God's good, God's good. Miracles happen. And you'd go into the medicine cabinet and get some aspirin because you're about to have a heart attack. Why? Because you are about to get some vision communication. Ladies, would y'all like to have some more vision communication in your marriage? Let's pray. Let's call, Father, we just call in vision communication tonight from the north, south, east, and the west. Father, tonight, overwhelm every wife here with vision communication. And all the ladies said, all right, let me talk to the men a minute. Men, our number one need in a marriage is not communication. It's not even in the same neighborhood as communication. It's more what you want to call nonverbal communication. Now, you never know who's listening. So what I like to say is the number one need in a marriage for a man is what I like to call checkers. You know, you jump her and she jumps you. Come on, everybody know what I'm talking about? Do I need to explain it? You get to the end of the game, king me. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Are we on the same? Do I need to explain to anybody? What, do you think we're going to have a marriage seminar and not talk about this? Hello, men. You ever been playing a good game of checkers with your wife and you know there's 100 other things she'd rather be doing at that moment than playing checkers? Truth be told, she's putting together a list of things she's got to pick up later at Walmart. But men, you take it. Because duty checkers is better than no checkers at all. Can I get an amen, men? Mm-hmm. And then your wives, shame on them, giving you duty checkers and then acting like they're doing you a favor. Oh, it's funny the other way, isn't it? So men, imagine for a second, come on, imagine for a second, it's 9 o'clock at night, your wife's gone to Walmart, Target, Ross's, TJ Maxx, come on, one of them. She comes in with the haul, right? She lays her stuff down. You're watching preseason football, right, brother? Preseason football. She walks over. She grabs the remote control, turns it off. Bam, turns it off. And you're like, hey, what are you doing? And she looks at you and she says, shut up. I'm like, what's going on? Shut up. And then she walks over to you. She picks you up by the back of the shirt and back of the pants, just picks you, slam up off the ground. Takes you in there to where the checkerboard is. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? On the way there, you grab some aspirin because you're eating, you're about to have a heart attack. And then just checkers. Come on now, checkers. Checkers. Everybody say vision checkers. Come on, light you up like a pinball machine. You go to work the next day, men. Come on, Mr. Fireman back there. You go to work limping. And you're like, what happened, man? Why are you limping? You're like, checker injury. Checker injury. You need to go to the, you need to look at, no, man, I want to keep it. I hadn't had one of these in a long time. Checker injury. I'm going to hold on to this. I don't even want God to heal it. I'm proud. Men, would you like to have some vision checkers? Come on, men, be honest. Y'all want some vision checkers? Well, come on, lift your hands. Let's pray. Father, we just call in vision checkers from the north, south, east, and the... Father, I just pray that tonight you would overwhelm all of these husbands with vision checkers in Jesus' name. But see, that's not how marriage works. Most marriages, they live in this realm of duty. And everything a wife does for her husband, she does it out of duty. And everything a husband does for his wife, he does it out of duty. That makes you a little duty couple. And then you bring your little duty couple to church. And you come to church out of duty. You serve out of duty. You might tithe out of duty. You think you're doing Pastor Scott a favor by being here. Come on. And then you teach that to your kids. So now you're a little duty family. And you got churches full of duty people everywhere. And we wonder why we're not seeing revival. If you're the father, are you pouring revival out on a duty church or a vision church? Duty's not bad. Vision's better.
And if you're looking for an outpouring on your life, an outpouring on your church, an outpouring on every department in this church, an outpouring on your marriage, get out of duty. Get over into vision. Give your wife vision communication. Give your husband vision checkers. Start sowing vision and you'll start reaping vision. And come on, Laura, take this thing.
Okay, well, who wants to follow that? Our dynamic number six is the local church. And you know, I always feel bad when I talk about this because, you know, y'all are here. You know, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm talking to the people that are here. I need to be talking to people that are not here, right? But you know, the church is the safest place to have your family. It's the safest place to have your marriage. It's the safest place for you to be. It was a place that God created so that we could get together. You know, this is the place you're supposed to find your community. This is the place that you find your tribe and your people. It doesn't mean that these are the only people you hang with, but these are the people that you are linked up with like faith and that you call and when you say, I need prayer, or they call you and they say, hey, I need you praying. I need, this is going on in my life. You know, God did not mean for us to do life alone. He didn't. And, you know, we go into churches sometimes and we think, well, you know, we go in with that customer mentality, you know, and we find things that are wrong. Well, let me help you with something. There is no perfect church. If you find a perfect church, go ahead and leave because you're going to mess it up. Right? There are no perfect pastors. But we're doing life together. That's what church in the core is supposed to be. The local church is supposed to be people you're doing life together with. And we need each other. You know, just like God made men and women completely different. Y'all figured that out, hadn't you? You know, whether you married or not, you've got to figure that out. You know, men are, the book, Men Are From Venus, Mars, Women Are From Venus. I mean, two different planets at some times. You just, you know, I do wonder. I mean, I'm going to ask God, you know, why did you make him so different than me? I mean, if he'd been like me, it'd been okay. No, it wouldn't have, no. But he made us completely different because we bring to each other what the other person lacks. That's what church is supposed to be. And sometimes we go in and we're looking for just people just like us. You don't need people just like you. You need somebody that's going to challenge you a little bit. You need somebody that's going to rub up against you a little bit. Younger couples, you need older couples that'll speak into your life. Older couples, you need younger couples to keep you young. We need each other. And the church, listen, the world is going after our children. The world is going after our grandchildren. The world is going after your families. And the safest place you can be is in the local church. You know, we're connected to our local church. We're evangelists. We're gone a lot. A lot. Now, on Sunday, if I'm not traveling with him, I'm in my church, sitting there listening to my pastors. He knows what's being put in my spirit. And when our kids were growing up, when he was gone, he knew where we were at. We were attached to our local church. We have pastors. We have people that speak into our lives. There are no lone wolves out there. We need each other. And it's the safest place to raise your children. You know, this is the place that you come and you get fed spiritually. You got to do it on your own as well, but you get fed spiritually and that you're around people that will encourage you, that will walk through things with you. And so, you know, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir because y'all are all here and you already know how important church is. But I'm telling you, it's more than just coming and attending. It's finding your place. Where do you belong in this church? And where you belong is not on a row or in a seat. Where you belong is, where are you serving? Who are you connected with? What are you doing? What part of this church is you? And you go, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not talking about being a preacher. You know, are you good at cleaning? Are you, oh yeah, I really love cleaning. Okay, you can do that. It's all the behind the scenes stuff. Are you really good at, like, you know, keeping plants alive in Houston heat? Oh yeah, you know, hello. whatever God's given you, whatever gift God's given you, He gave it to you not just for yourself, but He gave it to you to be used in the local church. Because when we all use our gifts, then you've got a healthy environment. You've got a place that can grow. You've got a place that people are attracted to. And so let me just encourage you. You know, you're here, and I think that's great, and I love that. But are you involved? Are you a spectator? Are you a participator? Are you just coming to get bless me, bless me, bless me? And if that's where you've been, praise God, I hope you're full. So now it's time to turn around and start giving out. Find your place, start serving. And I promise you, it doesn't have to be the pulpit. Probably in the pulpit. Find out, ask your pastors, hey, what do we need done? And you know, you'll be amazed that the gift God's placed inside of you, it's not just for you. It's not just for your family. It's not just for your friends, but it's for the body. Amen?
You know, one of the passions of my life is that right there, what she just talked about. You know, that's the reason we do the Blessed Because Financial Seminar, the Build Leadership Seminar, and then, the path is, I'm always driven by this thought. What if there was a church where 100% of the people did 100% of the tithing, 100% of the people did 100% of the serving, and 100% of the people did 100% of the worshiping? Not out of duty, but out of passion, conviction, vision. Amen? That's why I do what I do. That's why we do these seminars. And always remember, when the worship goes up, the glory comes down. Come on, every revival there's ever been, you'll see a revival at the altar. You'll see a revival of worship before you see a revival of glory. Amen? And so, hey, I just pray that church is this church in Jesus' name. Dynamic number 7, live heritage. Two of my favorite words in the English language is heritage and legacy. I love those two words. Heritage is everything you've received from the previous generation. What's been handed down to you? Spiritually, physically, financially? You know, it's just your heritage. The good, the bad, the ugly. Amen? It's your heritage. Legacy is what you're going to leave the next generation. And Jesus was all about both. Okay? Jesus, at the age of 30, Matthew 1, Luke 1, he could stand there and he could say, my daddy's name was, his 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 daddy's name was Judah, his daddy's name was Jacob, his daddy's name was Isaac, his daddy's name was Abraham, his daddy's name was Terah, his daddy's name was, his daddy's name was, his daddy's name was, his daddy's name was Adam, his daddy's name was God. All right. You say, how did he know that? Well, his daddy taught him. Who taught him? His daddy. Who taught him? His daddy. That heritage was passed down from generation to generation. Therefore, Jesus knew the people, the sacrifices, the choices that went before him. Amen? And when you don't understand your heritage, the world's going to bring out the worst in you. When you understand your heritage, something rises up in you to be thankful. And then, come on, everything Jesus did, it wasn't just for his generation, but it was for our generation. So when I say live heritage, this is what I'm talking about. You being here tonight, the Path Marriage Seminar, it ain't just about you. You ain't here tonight just for you. This is about your kids. This is about the kids that aren't even born yet. Come on, this is about your grandchildren. Grandchildren that aren't even born yet. This is for the next generation. And it doesn't even have to be your kids. Every time y'all walk into Believers Fellowship on a Sunday morning, there's kids everywhere, right? All right, they're not your kids. They're not your grandchildren, but they're watching you. They're watching how you treat each other. Come on. And the next generation, they're watching you, watching you, watching you, and they're deciding, come on, they're deciding, you know, when I grow up one day, I want a marriage just like them. Or behind your back, they're saying, I'll tell you what, when I grow up, I don't want a marriage anything like them. When you get it, that one of the great reasons to work at a great marriage and stay on the path is so that your marriage can be a photograph that you can show to the next generation and say, hey, this is what a great marriage looks like. When your ceiling becomes their floor, how many of you want, come on, your kids, your grandchildren, your ceiling to be their floor? Come on, that's heritage. So let me just do this real quick. Think back in your past. Did any of y'all have a couple in your life, could have been family or in church or anywhere, there was a couple in your life that they had a wonderful marriage, their marriage impacted your life, and maybe consciously or subconsciously there was a seed planted that when I get older one day, I want a marriage just like them. Does anybody have anybody like that in your life? Lift your hands. You do? What were their names? Bobby and Jessica. Bobby and Jessica. Who else? Does anybody have? Who? Paul and Wanda. Pastor, did you lift your? Who? Did you have somebody? Steve and Debbie. Did anybody over here have anybody like that? For Laura, it was the Huffmans. Well, who about you, brother? The Mackeys. Okay. Yeah. Ray and Pat. 10 years from now. 20 years from now. Do you want somebody to call out your name? Come on, do you want somebody to call out your name? You're here tonight. It's not just about you.
When we were at the Bible school and we started teaching, we hadn't been married that long, and we started teaching about marriage to these Bible school students. We weren't that much older than them, but we began to, which caused us to dig in and dig in. And when they would come up and say to us, you know, hey, man, I've never seen people have a marriage like that. I want a marriage like that. That was one of the greatest compliments to us. That was one of the greatest compliments because to us that meant we were doing something right. We were looking like Jesus, and that's what we want to do is look like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Our next dynamic number 8 is, this is not a fun one, is it? Pursue a debt-free life. Ugh. Did I just tell you to get out of debt? Yes, I did. Listen, debt always has the potential to interfere with the quality of your marriage. Why is that? Because one of the number one reasons for divorce is money. It's debt. Debt brings pressure. Debt brings stress. And then you get stressed about money, and then all of a sudden he ain't so cute no more. And then you get stressed about money and you're mad about money. And then all of a sudden she's not so nice anymore. Because it brings all that stress in and it brings that into your home. And all of a sudden it just creates an atmosphere you don't want. And listen, the world has set up a system to keep you in perpetual debt. I mean, those little phones you have in front of you show you everybody that has this wonderful, wonderful life, and your life is horrible, and theirs is great. Y'all do know that's fake, right? You know, you can put anything you want to on a TikTok, Facebook, whatever you know. The world has told you, you got to have 2 cars and 2 car payments and 3 cars and 4 cars. Ain't nothing wrong with having all that if you're not in debt. The world tells you you can't have a debt-free house. You got to pay for it for 30 years. No, you don't. The world tells you you've got to keep up with the Joneses. You got to have this. You got to have that. You got to wear this. You got to wear that. No, you don't. No, you don't. But what you do have to do is you have to look at God and say, "What do you want me to do?" And you've got to pursue that. Now, I'll tell you, pursuing a debt-free life will take the stress out of your, a lot of stress out of your marriage. And you have no excuse because we have those little phones. And there's just about nothing that you can't look up on that phone. There are books out to tell you, if you go, I don't know how to get out of debt. I'm so far in debt, I don't even know where to start. There are books. Well, I can't afford a book. Okay, go to the library. You've got an internet. Listen, you can afford to go to Starbucks. You can afford to go buy a book. Right? Getting out of debt will bring such freedom to your marriage. It will bring freedom to your life. Listen, the worst thing in the world is when God tells you to give something and you have a heart to give. God, you walk past somebody and God says, go buy him dinner. And you go, I don't have $5 in my account. You can't do what God's called you to do because you're strapped by debt. Debt's bondage. Debt's bondage. And I'll promise you, because I can tell you that Philip and I have definitely not been perfect in this area. When we first got married, we were 20 and 21 and just as dumb as a box of rocks. We didn't know anything, and we didn't have parents that taught us. I wish we would have. We didn't have parents that taught us what to do. And then the world system changed. Credit cards came into existence. And that's free money, right? You just swipe that. Whew. And of course, we all deserve to go out and eat at a nice restaurant. We've worked hard and we deserve a new pair of shoes. Or we deserve that really nice purse. So we'll just swipe that credit card because it's not real money. When Philip and I got out of Bible school, we had debt. Because we had, you know, paid for Bible school on credit cards. And we were just, back then you couldn't go to McDonald's and eat on a credit card. You had to go to a really, really nice restaurant. Well, where'd we go? Italian Inn on 71st and Lewis. I could close my eyes, sweet baby Jesus. That is the best food. It was so good. But we deserved it, right? You know, because we were in school and we were working hard. Got out of school and had all this debt. And so, you know, we didn't cut up the credit cards. We went and got a loan and we paid off that loan. But we kept the credit card because we didn't know any better. We didn't have all the books that are out now. We didn't have all that. We had to learn the hard way. But I promise you, when we decided we were at the Bible school and we wanted to do what we're doing now, but we had debt. And Philip came home one day and he said, "Baby, we're not going to be able to do what we know we're supposed to do if we don't get out of debt." And I was like, "Okay, we're going to get out of debt." We got together in agreement. And we went about the whole wrong way. But God corrected us and we did do it the right way. Because there's a process you can do. And I'll tell you, we did it. We probably did it a couple times. I'd like to tell you that we learned that time and we were perfect. But, you know, life came up here and there and we found ourselves later on in debt. But what I want you to know is that every time that we started pursuing getting out of debt, every time we started saying, "God, we want to get out of debt. We're going to do this. Help us. Show us." Number one, he would show us things. Number two, he would run after us to get us out of debt. Every time without fail. Every time. He is so merciful. And in our stupidity, he helped us. And in that process, we begin to learn. We begin to learn. And I'm telling you, debt's bondage. There is nothing else you need. There's this little lady that's on, she does these reels, and I get tickled at her, and she says, "You don't need nothing from Target today. You don't need nothing from Sheen today. You don't need nothing from TJ Maxx." She's getting the meddling now. "You don't need nothing from TJ Maxx today." She says, "Go clean your house and wash your dishes." And I'm like her. But she's right. We get so consumed with everything that we forget we are kingdom people. And there is a way that God has for you to do your finances kingdom wise. And when you do, there are blessings that you cannot count. You can never count them. And I promise you, when you get together and get in unity, you can't have one want to do it and the other not, but you get into unity. And you lock arms and you go, "Okay, not that you're going to be perfect, baby. We're going to do this." And you start making steps toward that. God will move on your behalf. And he will show you what to do. And when you get out of debt and then God says, "Hey, give $100 to this person. Sponsor a child that's going, a young person that's going to Bible school. Sponsor them every month. Give them $25 so they can go wash their clothes." And then you go, "Okay, I can do that, God. I can do that." There's such peace and freedom in that. Pursue a debt-free life.
And then just know that you'll never get out of debt if you don't know how much debt you're in. You'll never conquer something you're unwilling to confront. And so where that journey begins is going home and writing down every debt and bill you have and stare at it. And that's what we did when I was 30 years old. The thickest chapter in that book, The Path, is called The Blessed Marriage. And it's all about finances. And then just as a side note, if you go over to YouTube, we've got 86 episodes of thepath.tv. That is just a professional series we did on marriage. If you want to go over there and just subscribe, you can go through those. They're about 20 minutes long. And man, they're incredible. Amen. Hey, someone said this a long time ago. Matter of fact, I know who it was. It was Brother Mark Hankins, one of my favorite quotes of his. He says, "You'll either be blessed to be a blessing or broke to be a burden." Man, I like that. Come on, blessed to be a blessing or broke to be a burden. How many of you want to be blessed to be a blessing? This is one of these things that I believe in down to the very fiber of my being. If you want to have a great marriage, you want to have a great marriage. Every fiber, every cell in your body, spirit, soul, body, y'all need to be in complete agreement that the reason you're together is because you're blessed to be a blessing. The reason God put y'all together is because you're blessed to be a blessing. The reason you have jobs is because you're blessed to be a blessing. The reason you're breathing because you're blessed to be a blessing. The reason you come to this church because you're blessed to be a blessing. Come on, the reason you give is because why? Well, of course, you're blessed to be a blessing. The reason you walk, the reason you talk, the reason you do everything you do is because you're what? Blessed to be. I am an Abrahamic covenant dude. All right? Come on. I'm an Abrahamic. God's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Philip. And I put just as much oomph on Philip as I do Jacob. Come on. And Galatians 3 tells me that if I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, then I'm Abraham's seed and I'm heirs according to the promise. And so Laura and I, we live in expectation that everything that was Abraham's is mine. Y'all think it's a little children's story, but it ain't to me. It's a prophetic decree. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And I am one of them. So are you. It's just praise the Lord. Come on. We're blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. And when you buy into that and you get that in your spirit and come on and out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks and you start making decisions from that place. Like for instance, tithing. For a lot of people, tithing is hard. Why? Because they don't have a revelation they're blessed to be a blessing. When you're blessed to be a blessing and you know it and you have a revelation, tithing's easy, sowing is easy, giving is easy because, see, you know you can't outgive God. Have you ever just said that to yourself, you can't outgive God? Do you really think God's going to let you outgive Him? You can't outgive God. You get addicted to giving, God will support your habit. Come on, when you know that you're blessed to be a blessing, tithing and sowing and giving is easy. It's why Laura and I are the givers we are. Listen, we're tithers. We haven't missed a tithe since the late 1980s. All right, we support 15 ministries around the world. We give as the Holy Ghost leads us to give. We give over 20% of our income back into the kingdom. Everything we do at Philip Baker Ministries, we do on 80%. And it's easy. You know why? Because we got a revelation that we're what? Blessed to be a blessing. Genesis 12, we're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. I'll die on that hill. You understand me? I'll die on that hill. I'll die on that hill. And you can reach out with faith tonight and grab a hold of that. And I'm telling you, you get out of the shower in the morning, you look in the mirror and you go, hey, let me tell you something right now. You know, you got to talk to yourself. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're blessed to be a blessing, and don't you forget it. Ooh, come on, that's some good stuff. Blessed to be a blessing, not broke to be a burden. Blessed to be a blessing. Believer's Fellowship is blessed to be a blessing. It's one of the things I want to declare over you. In just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet, and there's some things I want to pray over you. I want to declare over you and this church and Laura and I that we're going to finish out the year strong. Amen? That the end of the year is going to be better than the beginning of the year. Come on. That December is going to be a supernatural miracle month for all of us. That 2027 is going to be greater than 2026. And that we are what? Blessed to be a blessing. So listen, we're not concerned about what's going on politically. We're not concerned what's going on with the economy. We're not concerned about what's going on in the world. Hey, are we going to vote? Yeah. Are we going to be informed? Yeah. Are we going to pray? Yeah. But we are blessed to be a blessing. And our best days are, I want to declare that over you. Declare that over you. So let me end with dynamic number 10. And this is one I'm legally bound by heaven to report to you guys. I have to make this official. It just comes with the path that, well, my marriage is better than yours. It just is. There's a first place trophy in heaven. And Laura and I's name is, it's already on it. I saw it. But I'm hearing that, you know, second place and third place is still wide open. And I just want, just, you know, this is going to be, listen, this is what's possible for you. Is that one day we'll get to heaven and, you know, Laura and I, we're here because we're going to get the gold medal. Greatest marriage in the history of the world. And you could be standing right here. And I could just pat you. I am so silver medal. Good for you. Fist bump. I'm just give you a hug. Mwah. Kiss you on. Mwah. This could be you. And then we got, you know, got you. You could third place is not bad. You think about the millions of marriages that have been, you know, you could be like third place and bronze medal. Man, way to go, dog. I mean, that's pretty good. And I'm reached down and, mwah, and just kiss you, give you a big hug. But then I got to get back up here, you know, because the first place is a goal. The photographs. All right, everybody say cheese, you know, just, you know, you could be second place, third place. You say, well, Brother Philip, I think my marriage is better than yours. Well, isn't that cute, sweetie? Have you written a book on marriage? Do you have 86 episodes on the Path TV? Do you? Yeah, but we've been married longer. It ain't about quantity. It's about quality. You say, Brother Philip, you're making me mad. Good. That's my whole point. I'm provoking you to good works. Been in church my whole life, and we argue about stupid stuff. Let's argue about stuff that matters, like who's got the better marriage. Let's argue about stuff that builds us up. You think you're going to have a better marriage than me? You better pack a lunch. You better get to work. We live in a culture. You talking about culture? The culture of America is to dog your marriage publicly. Every TV show, every movie, my old lady, come on. We whine and complain and we gripe about marriage. It's part of our culture. You pull that stuff in front of me and it ain't going to work out too well for you because I'm going to look at you and go, oh my gosh, I feel so sorry for you. I've got the greatest marriage in the history of the known world. I love my wife. Bless your darling heart. I feel sorry for you. Come on. Let's argue about things that matter. So for 20 years, I'll go into churches and somebody will walk up to me and they'll go, Brother Philip, it happened. And I'll go, what? My marriage is now better than yours. And I'll just give them a hug and then say, you know, bless your darling heart. You know, and just patronize them a little bit. Come on. Mine is the best is an attitude. It's an attitude that I wish every wife had and every husband had. And it has nothing to do with feelings. It has nothing to do with emotions. It has everything to do with making a choice. Come on, stand to your feet. Whew. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Can we just put your stuff down and just be quiet and just look up here at the screen. I'm going to pray over here in a minute. God's given me a word for a couple of you that I believe God's going to pour something through you to all of us. But look up at those dynamics. Holy Spirit, will you confirm some things in our heart right now? Holy Spirit, you're our teacher, our guide. You show us things to come. You open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear. You touch our heart. You're not about condemnation. You're all about conviction. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us tonight? Will you touch our heart? which one of these do we really need to lean into? Which one are we missing it the most? Which one do we need to draw that line in the sand and say, okay, from this moment forward, it's going to be this way. It ain't going to be that way no more. History says it's crossing the Rubicon. And decisions like this, they're not spectacular, but they sure are supernatural. A switch can flip in your heart. The Holy Spirit can adjust your rudder by just millimeters. And it means the difference between winding up somewhere bad and winding up somewhere wonderful. Do you need to get duty out of your house? Do you need to get planted in the local church? Do you need to remember that it's not just about you? It's about the next generation? Is debt and disorder have everything in your life right now in bondage? Are you tired of being broke to be a burden? Are you ready to decide that, bless God, if we do anything right, we're going to have a great marriage and it's going to be better than everybody's because we're going to put the work in? Baby, I'm going to work at loving you and I know you're going to work at honoring me. Holy Spirit, will you open up our eyes? Hallelujah. Just during worship, I just a couple of you, I just feel like God had a word for, but it was something that God wanted to pour through you for all of us. And, you know, I was talking to Mr. Fireman, you know, back there earlier. You had a beautiful family. It's sacred ministry. And I heard the Lord say, Psalms 5:12, that God would bless the righteous and with favor would he surround you. And I really believe God wants to pour favor through you guys into all of our lives tonight. And when I think favor, man, I think Deuteronomy 1:11, that God will make you 1,000 times more and bless you. That one moment of favor equals 10 years of hard work. That God doesn't, he hasn't done all that he did at Calvary so you could live in this world of fair. No, I don't want fair. I want favor. Supernatural favor. Because see, you can't do everything God's called you to do without it. If Jesus needed favor to do everything God's called him to do, how much more do you think we need favor to do everything God's called us to do? Jesus increased in wisdom and favor and stature with God and man. And I'm telling you, God wants to pour out favor on you guys where it's just weird. That if anything good is going to happen to anybody, it's going to happen to us. Come on. Well, it's not fair. You're right. It's not fair. It's favor. God wants to do that for y'all. But if you'll reach out with your faith, come on, you can grab a hold of that. So come on, stretch your hands out towards them. Father, I thank you for that man and woman of God, that son and daughter of the Most High God. Father, I thank you they're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And Father, right now, you are pouring out supernatural kingdom favor upon them and through them. Father, that favor right now has hit this place. It's pouring through them into all of our lives. And Father, we reach out with our faith and we receive it now. We say, mine now. Father, we declare that you are blessing us, and you are surrounding us with favor. Father, you're getting fair off of us. Father, you're pouring favor upon us, and we receive it. we receive it. And Father, it's not just so that we can sit around in the blessing, but Father, favor is always poured out for something for the kingdom. Father, thank you that your favor, supernatural favor, is being poured out through them into Believers Fellowship and into our lives, and we receive it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Mr. H-Town over there, H-Town made. I like that shirt. I looked over there, Chewed, and I knew you were up at the sound booth at the time. And I looked back there, and I saw your hands go up. And then I heard Revelations 4, you know, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And I saw that on you, and I saw your hands go up. But then I saw this. I saw as your hands went up, God's hands came down. And I saw him begin to get his hands all involved in your life. And I wrote this. I saw him. He was putting things in order. Then he was picking things up and fixing stuff. He was putting things in order. He was fixing stuff. And he was just blessing it. He was just blessing it. He was blessing it. I saw your hands go up and I saw his hands come down. You know, I believe that's a word for all of us. Can we all just lift our hands in this place? Can we just all begin to declare, come on, holy. Come on, go ahead. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Come on, come on. Is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Come on, come on. Let it roll out of your spirit. Come on, holy. Come on, come on, come on, come on, holy. Holy, let it come out of your spirit. He that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Father, holy. Father, Father, holy. Father, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And Father, I thank you that your hands right now are coming down, coming down, coming down, coming down. And Father, right now in his life, Father, right now in his life, Father, 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 as his hands stay up and as he worships, Father, you're putting things in order. You're putting things in order. Father, you're putting things in order. Father, you're fixing things. You're fixing things. You're fixing things. And Father, you're blessed. Father, you're blessed. Father, you're blessed. Father, you're blessed. Come on, this is a word for all of us in the days ahead. Hands up, hands up, hands up, hands up. Holy, holy, holy. When your hands are up, God's hands are, come on, involved, involved. He's putting things in order. When you're worshiping God, he's putting things in order. He's fixing things and he's blessing and he's blessings and he's blessing and he's blessing and he's blessing and he's blessing. Come on, this is where we shift over. This is when we shift over into a decree, into a prophecy, into declaration. Father, right now in the authority of the name of Jesus, Father, I declare that, Father, we are going to finish out 2026 strong. That, Father, the end of the year is going to be greater than the beginning of the year. Father, as every week goes by, every month goes by, momentum is going to build. Momentum is going to build. Favor is going to increase. We have stepped over into a breakthrough season. Father, December, as we celebrate the miracle birth of Jesus, Father, we are going to experience as a church and as families supernatural miracles in December. And Father, when we step over into 2027, we're going to step in like a roaring lion. We're going to step in with momentum, with prophetic vision. Father, we're going to step into 2027, not hoping, not thinking, but knowing that it's going to be our greatest year yet. That Father, 2027 is going to be 2026, 2025, and 2024 all combined. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. Father, we declare that we are, come on, we're blessed to be a blessing. And all the blessings of Abraham belong to Believers Fellowship, belong to me belong to, come on, Philip and Laura Baker. You better put your name in there. Belong to, go ahead. Come on, belong to, go ahead. Father, we're blessed to be a blessing. Now we go back to, come on, hands up, and go back to holy, holy, holy. Come on, holy, holy, holy. Father, we give you the glory. We give you the glory. Father, we give you the glory. Pastor.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing tonight. Thank you for planting in our hearts the seed of your love, your power. Thank you for the blessing that Jesus has brought to our lives. Blessing, Lord, not just acceptance, not just get by, not just surviving, but blessing. Thank you, Jesus. You came blessing, and you left this earth blessing. And you're continuing to bless. We receive it tonight. We receive a fresh blessing from your heart and from your love for us tonight, Lord. Just open up and receive from him right now a blessing here in his presence. He has great blessing for us. Amen. We need the blessing. Amen. The blessing will put you over. It will make you an overcomer in this life. And we need that. Amen. We thank you for the blessing, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What we don't deserve, grace, given undeserved, unconditionally, through your love. Thank you, Jesus. We receive it tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You got anything, Terry? Praise God. If you're couples in here, join hands with your spouse. Your spouse is standing next to you or near you. Join hands right now. We're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the love of Jesus, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts as couples, Lord, that we might glorify you. The husband loving his wife, the wife submitting to her husband as Christ does to the church. Your love on display in this world, Lord. Thank you for that love right now, showering down upon us by the Holy Ghost. The love of the Father, the love of Jesus Christ for his church. Pour it out now, Holy Spirit, right now, here in our midst. Pour it out in each heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you take from us a stony heart. You give us a heart of flesh, a tender heart of flesh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You agree? Say amen.
Amen.
You don't have to feel something. You just receive something. Praise the Lord. Well, you could be seated for one more moment. We're going to receive an offering again tonight to bless Brother Philip and his wife, Laura. As you heard from their opening itinerary, they do a lot of traveling. They're doing a lot of blessing all over this world. So everything you sow is a blessing. Wherever they're going, their seed sowing is going to somehow tie back into your account. Amen. As we give generously. So if you have a check or cash, ushers, if you please come. If you're going to give by check or cash, just raise your hand real high and they'll get those to you this evening. If you'd like to give from your heart, I encourage you to give. Anytime the Lord blesses us, it's important that we respond. Amen. At the very least, a thank you. And if you don't have anything to give, stick a pencil in that envelope, whatever. You know, I heard that story. Jerry Seville stuck a pencil in there one time, or Kenneth Copeland, whatever, who it was, Kenneth Copeland, stuck a pencil in there. Didn't have anything else money-wise but to give, but he gave what he could. Praise the Lord. So give from your heart, amen, to bless Brother Philip, but also to bless the heart of the Lord and say thank you for the blessing you outpoured for us tonight. Amen. If you didn't come with something in hand to give, you can give electronically. Guys, if you can put that up for us, please. There it is. You can text to give. You can give on our church app. And if you'll just use the designation, the general tithes and offerings, and that will go toward this offering tonight. Amen. Let's pray. What? Oh.
I just feel to say this before we pray over the offering. You know, marriage is not a man and woman. It's three, man, woman, and God. we honestly cannot do this right without the God peace. And I think sometimes we just keep, you know, struggling in areas, maybe some areas we have great, other areas we're struggling with it, right? But what is it? It's the God peace. So we just, all of us lift our hands right now and let's just invite God in. Father, we invite you in. We need your help in our marriage. We need your help to do this right. We need your help to love our spouse. We need your help to do these things that we were taught tonight. We don't have to do it because we can look at that and go, I can't do that. I've tried that. I can't do it. But Lord, we're asking you to help us. Lord, your grace is sufficient. Father, your word says that you give us the desires of our heart, that you make us able to do the things that we need to do. And I thank you for that. I pray your hand on every marriage here, Father. Lord, that they would begin to pray together. They would begin to speak over their marriage. Lord, that they would think your thoughts, Father. If it's not your thoughts and not in line with your plan, Father, they'd throw them out. Father, they would throw those words out that are not of you, Father. That we would think in line with your word and your plan, Father, inviting you in, Lord, and then speaking it out. Father, I thank you for it. I declare these marriages blessed and sealed by the power of the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus over everyone here. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Amen.
Amen. God bless you as you give tonight. Thank you so much. And be sure to avail yourself of those wonderful resource materials on your way out. Like Philip said, there's what, 265? Is that right? Wow. That's a lot of nuggets to chew on. That gets you by for about the next 30 years for your marriage. Take all those nuggets in the Path book, and I know you'll be blessed by it. Buy it for a friend if you need. You have somebody at work or someone that needs some help in their marriage. Buy them a copy. Amen. Be blessed and be a blessing. Praise the Lord. Well, let's all stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for all you've done tonight. We thank you for your goodness, your presence here. Thank you, Jesus. We just seal it with our amen as we leave tonight, Lord. We just say thank you, and we say amen to what you've done in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 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 God bless you as you go.